we stand forgiven at the cross. Our affirmations today come from Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by.
Which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him.
And when they did not find a way, they might bring him in because of the multitude.
They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus.
And when he saw their faith, he said unto him,
And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?
But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts?
Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today.
Oh, Father, today let us glorify your name. Let us live in such a way that we glorify your name. Let us give to you all that we are, surrendering ourselves fully. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come asking that you would be so present in this place. We know that you are with us always. We know that you never leave us nor forsake us. But today, would you make yourself so real to us? Would you pull back the scales off of our eyes? Would you open our ears so that we might hear you, that we might see you, that we might know that you are with us this day? We cannot do anything without you. We need you. We want you. We desire you. Have your way in this place for your glory and for your honor, for your worthy, Lord. Thank you for being with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do we realize what it is we're saying when we praise him? Do we realize what it is we're saying when we stop and tell him how good he is? We're saying that he came from heaven. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, a life that was amazing. And he had this wondrous, marvelous ministry where people were changed and delivered, and it was clear that he truly was God. And we saw all of this, and then he was nailed to the cross. He was killed. He died. But 3 days later, he rose again. He rose again. He rose again. And now we can be assured that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, our sins have been forgiven. All of the things that would have condemned us, all of the things that would have destined us to a life without God, to an eternity without knowing him, All of those things have been vanquished because of the blood that was shed upon the cross of the very Lamb of God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, my Savior. Ah, he's good. Dear good, good Father, today will you reveal yourself to us? Will you help us to somehow grasp the ungraspable? Will you help us to understand in such a way that we have an aha moment of how good you really are? Help us to get it. Help us to take it in and allow it to change us so that we might be yours. That we might experience your goodness. That we might have a sense of the power that you give through your grace to have self-control, that we might really and truly be able to persevere through all of the stuff that we have to go through, the hurts and the pains and the frustration and even the good times which would distract us. All of this stuff, we've got to be able to keep on going, believing that you are and that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would allow us to live in faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, that makes it real, hope, the things that we've hoped for are real because the things that we hope for are in line with the truth of the promises that you made. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but not just faith. Not just faith, Lord, we would be able to have peace. To be able to lay our head down at night, comforted, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, in that process, when we recognize that, we would have an irrepressible joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we would be strong in the Lord and the power of your might so that we might experience your love, the love that's shed abroad in our hearts so that we might be a reflection of your goodness, and we let our light so shine among men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But Lord, it starts with your word. Speak your word to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fifth chapter of Luke has an account that just blows me away, an account that it must have been such a scene. It was mind blowing. Jesus had in the 64th, you see, Jesus had been out praying. He had prayed. He was in touch with the Father. He knew he needed to hear from him. We need to hear from him. Do you know that you need to hear from him on a regular basis? You know, I try to tell you the truth all the time. I really do. But the fact is that don't let me be how you hear from God. I just want to confirm what you've already heard from God. Let me say that again. Don't let me be how you hear from God, although you may hear from God through me some days, and that's an okay thing. But you need to have heard from God and let me confirm what he said. And you can do that because the word of God that you have access to, this Bible, this has everything that we need to understand and grasp and truth. And the Spirit of God wants it to come so alive to you that the Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful. It's able to do whatever. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's very exacting. It's not a sloppy book. It really has it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. It can go into the midst of your life and untangle the thing that you didn't think could be untangled. It's the amazing thing that we have this word of God. And people will tell you, oh, I just can't understand. I just can't understand it. No, that's okay. Because he understands you. See, sometimes I just want to be understood. Sometimes I just want to be, I just want someone that gets me. And when you find that, then you get them, and it's a symbiotic relationship. And day by day by day, you grow stronger and stronger in this word. And this word of God is so sweet. And here, Jesus has spent some time with the Father. And when he had spent some time with the Father, he was just doing the thing that he was called to do. And we start here in verse 17. And it came to pass, on a certain day, as he was teaching, you know, we talk about that all the time. Jesus went through this process that I believe that we should go through too. We should teach, preach, and heal. That's what it says in 4:23 in Matthew and 9:35 in Matthew. And we should be in this process of going through all of those things so that we are getting the full breath of it, that we're really understanding him, and that we're really growing in him, and we're really hearing him. And so here it was, on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. People had come from far and near because they wanted to judge who this guy was. You know, people are looking at you and they're judging. They're trying to determine if what you say about the things that you say are true or not. They are trying to determine if there really is a God by you. Because if he doesn't fix you, if he doesn't change you, well, what good is he? So people are looking, and people had come from far and near. These guys who were a part of the religious establishment, they're is a problem even for us today, is that guys like me, well, our quote-unquote living comes from people thinking well of us, thinking that we've got something to say. And sometimes when we feel that being threatened, we build these hard cases of that encase us in ideas and concepts so that nothing can penetrate, and so we want to make sure that we keep it nice and shiny, that no one ever questions and no one ever thinks and no one ever, and they kind of look to us. Don't look to us. I don't know how that sounds, but don't look to us. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. As much as I love you, I don't have a heaven or hell for you. As much as I care for you, I'm not the one who determines your fate. I am just a fellow traveler on this path. I'm just one who is hopefully going the right way. I'm just a beggar trying to tell other beggars where I've heard there's food. We got to get this thing that we have to have a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you have a one-on-one personal relationship with And do you understand that once you have that personal relationship, how that tangles you up, joins you to, makes you a part of the body of Christ? Today, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion, the fact that we have been knitted together so that we form the body of Christ. We are being built brick by brick by brick. We're being built into a sanctuary of praise for God. We are together being built up to show the glory of God, a habitation for Him that He lives in, that He is always with. We're His, and we're a part of all of this. We are not the thing, but He is inhabiting us. He wants to inhabit the praises of His people. Are you living in such a way that we're praising Him? Are you living in such a way that He gets a good name by who you are, what you are? My parents used to make a big deal of how I carried the name outside our home. Remember who you are and whose you are. So here he is. The Pharisees and the doctors of law were sitting by, which were come out of every town. Everybody look at this, Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And as all of these people were looking in on this situation, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of God is present to heal you, to change you, to make a difference in your life. The power of God is real. Because if we don't understand that the power of God is real and present, what hope? Why are we here? So the power of God was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy. Other gospels mention that it was four guys. So there's four guys carrying a guy on a stretcher. Imagine what that must have looked like. These four guys carrying this guy around on a stretcher, and they get to the place where they had heard that Jesus was. And for some reason, they believed that wherever Jesus was, there was help for this man on the stretcher. They believed that wherever Jesus was, there was help for this man on the stretcher who could not help himself. They believed that wherever Jesus was, there was help for the man who could not help himself. Do you believe that wherever Jesus is, there is help for those that cannot help themselves? Do you understand that where Jesus is, there is help for those that cannot help themselves? And that you are called to be like these men and help those who cannot help themselves to find the presence of Jesus. Think about that. You have been called to take Jesus to people that cannot help themselves, so the healing presence of Jesus is in their presence, they are in His presence, and there can be change in our society. So we've got this scene. It's a wonderful scene. The men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought a means to bring him in and to lay him before him. They needed to find a creative way to get to Jesus. It wasn't enough to say, watch him on television. It wasn't enough to say, you know, he's down the street. Maybe if you shout loud enough. They needed to bring him into the very presence to make sure that God was hearing him. They needed to make sure that they were, it was real. Are we living as a church, as First Baptist Church of Garrettsville? Are we living in such a way that we will do extraordinary things to bring people into the presence of God? We need to live in such a way that we will do crazy stuff for God. We need to live in such a way that people's lives are changed because we're crazy enough to believe that where Jesus is, there is help. It's not enough just to get ours and hope that they might get there some way. These men, verse 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, because of the craziness of our world, it's so crowded and there's so much pushing in on us, it seems like we can't get to Jesus. They went upon the housetop. Now, houses at this time often, especially homes that were where people were pretty prosperous, they would have a stairway up the side of the house, and you could go hang out on the roof. You see other places in Scripture where people were hanging out on the roof. Peter was hanging out on the roof. So you could go up there and you could hang out on the roof. And so they couldn't get in the front door. They couldn't get in if there was a side door or the windows. They just couldn't get this guy in. So they went up the side of the house and they were there on the roof. They went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. They tore up the roof. Wait a minute, do you get that? They went on somebody else's house and they dug through the roof. They so wanted to be in the presence of Jesus that they were willing to risk. Let me tell you right now, if you go home today and you suddenly see a man coming down through your roof, well, we would probably have a funeral. See, it wasn't any different then. It was a scary thing. They were digging through someone's roof. And they pulled up the tiles. And they let a man down. What would it be like for you if you were, you know, not able to walk and not able to get around, and your friends say, we know this Jesus, and this Jesus, he could do something for you. You've heard about Jesus? Yeah, I've heard about him. Yeah, I sure wish I could do something, but I can't get to. Here, you know, we're going to take you. I wonder what that conversation was like. Hey, guys, let's go take him to Jesus. And they probably said, yeah, good idea. And then they get there, and it's too crowded. They get there, and it was just too much. And they cried just like the baby. It was sad. It was hurting. It was rough. Here it was that they couldn't. They got almost there. Sometimes I think as a church we get almost there. We get almost there, and then we see all the things that come against us. And we see all of the tough things that we've got to deal with. And we see all of the mess. And we say we really gave it a shot. But these guys wouldn't accept that. And they said, no, 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 we've come too far. So they go, they climb up on a roof. They tear up the roof. Then they ease their friend down in front of Jesus. Look at what happens here. They let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, when he saw that they believed that the answer to their challenge was being in his presence, when they saw that these people believed that even in the midst of the doctors, the lawyers, and all of the great people of that time, when they saw all of that stuff, he says to them, be healed. Oh, no, that's not what he said. No, no, that's not what he said. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Whoa. My sins are forgiven me? I can't walk. They've come a long way to do this. They've taken big risks to do this. And the first thing you say to me is, thy sins are forgiven me? And the religious folks, they clapped and applauded. Oh, no, no, that's not what they did. Let me see. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who can do this? They're mad. He says, your sins are forgiven. And they're going, wait a minute. Who are you to forgive sins? Who are you to say that sins don't count? Who are you? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he probably could have told by just the looks on their faces. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What's going on deep down inside you that you are upset that someone would declare another person's sins forgiven? I would like to say I never get like that. But, you know, you ever see somebody and you go, they're in that church over there. That church must be messed up, because I know them. They're messed up. I wonder what people say about you. What do they say about First Baptist? Because you're here. Oh, that church can't be preaching the gospel. And those people can't be believing because, well, look who's there. And Jesus says, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Gives them kind of like almost like a little riddle. What's easier? Is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? See, there's a thing about sins are forgiven. I can't. See, when I say to you, your sin is forgiven, there's no immediate way that anybody can tell if that's really the case. In fact, you yourself can't tell that's the case. You don't know. What, sins? Are my sins forgiven? Are they? But what about rise up and walk? Well, my goodness, if He can say, rise up and walk. And it happens that he must have been telling the truth about my sins are forgiven. So if he's saying, rise up and walk, and I can, then I can believe my sins are forgiven. Oh. So in his compassion for me, I can see that there has really been an internal forever change. Sometimes we wonder why we should do things that help people. Sometimes we wonder why we should do extraordinary things, why we should care for the sick, why we should care for the poor, why we should care for those that are widows, why we should care for people. Why should we care? Because people will instinctively understand that if somebody like that is actually doing that, they must be someone who has been changed by God, because that ain't natural. It's not natural for someone to do that good. It's not natural for someone to pray and someone to be healed. It's not natural. So seeing the supernatural things of God, for you to have peace when the world is gone crazy, when you to have joy in the midst of sorrow, when you are having faith when you can't see what's going to happen tomorrow, when you have goodness when the world around you says have revenge, when you have patience and perseverance when it's long and it's hard, when you have that going on in your life, that's a miraculous thing. And when people see the miraculous happening in your life, it makes them believe that there is a Jesus, because you tell them that it was only because of Jesus that it happened. And you know what? If you really stop and think about it, that's the only reason you do any good. Listen, you may be nice people, but don't fool yourself. You're not naturally good. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you could get over an addiction that has been holding you for year after year after year and making a fool of you, you know that's only God. If you can get over a relationship that is broken and has hurt you, but you can forgive and you don't have to look back in sorrow, you know that's only God. If you can actually see someone physically healed, you know that's only God. You know these things are true. You know that you know that you know that your sins can be forgiven, because you have seen the miraculous. When you experience the miraculous, you can be assured that your sins are forgiven. Listen, think about it just for a moment. Think about it. Think about a sin that you have done. You know you did it. And you didn't know how to fix it. There was no fixing it. There was no making it better. It's past. It's gone. You could never fix it. And somebody like me comes along and says, your sins are forgiven. And you go, that's nice. But do you believe it down deep in your heart? Well, I'm telling you, because of the things that God has done, the miraculous that you've seen, the things that have changed, the way that people behave because of that, you can be assured that your sins are forgiven. When you see that person whose life has changed, there are people that look in this congregation and for year after year after year, they've been faithful. But I've heard a little bit about their past, so that's a miraculous thing. I've seen the physically miraculous, quite frankly. I've seen things that can be explained no other way but by the fact that the Spirit of the living God moved and did something that was awesome. We have testimonies in this place of someone praying and someone saying, I'm healed, I'm changed. When I see that, that I can believe the word of God that says my sins are forgiven. That thing that I could not fix on my own has been forgiven. And when I can believe that my sin has been forgiven, then I can believe that God really does have me. He does keep me. He does love me. And when I believe that God is with me and loves me, I can celebrate. I can say, hey, it's good to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and I have been forgiven. I can walk around in spite of all that I've done and all of my failures and know that I have been delivered because I've seen what he's done. See, the world wants to obscure what you've seen so that you don't believe. But I want you to process what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've felt, what others have seen, heard, and felt so that you can believe that Jesus has forgiven your sin. And if you have been forgiven your sin, if you have confessed with your mouth, if he has chosen you, then you can celebrate. Celebrate. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they were mad about it. Verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts, whether easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things this day. When we have seen the changes that we have seen, we ought to be in awe and glorify God. If there's a weakness of our congregation, it's our lack of awe. Our lack of awe. Guys, don't you get it? Don't you get what we've seen? We had memorial services for our brother Mark. One of the things that left me in awe was the change in his life. We've had so many things that we have gotten through that we didn't think we could get through. Becky lost her husband, but she is able to be here knowing that she has a no-so hope in Jesus. we have people that have been touched by God in unique ways that only God could have made the difference. And that's one of the great things of knowing each other, being with each other, being a part of the body. That's one of the great things about us being a part of the body of Jesus. That's one of the great things of being able to celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper, what some traditions call communion, because we're saying that because of what Jesus has done, and we believe that he has done that because we see evidence all around us that something has happened. And because we have seen that something has happened, we have a deep and growing belief that God is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And he said that we are part of one body. He said that we nourish and keep each other. He said that we should go out into all the world and teach people to obey the word of God, learning and growing in this word of God, this way of God, this will of God. And we can do that because we're the friends that carried that one to Jesus. Will you commit to being the friend that will deliver people to Jesus? Pray with me. Dear Father, I believe Jesus Christ is both my Savior. I needed a Savior. And Jesus is my Lord. He's the Master. He's everything. He's in charge. Thank you for changing me and making me a part of the body of Christ. Let my life so reflect you that my mouth so speak your praises that many will believe and be in awe of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.